And welcome back!
Hello.
I have my lovely nurse Leah again.
Hello.
Are you right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Have a nice day.
It's been lovely.
Yes, yeah,
productive.
Been yeah, very productive as always. How was your week?
Yeah, good, I think.
Yeah.
It's all gone blow already.
Mm. Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly, yeah.
And, I had an amazing week. I've spent the week with my little princess, my daughter, and went trampolini.
Oh, fun.
So much fun. And seeing her jumping and sending it like her little dad.
Mm-hmm.
She's so much fun. She's crazy. I mean, there was a few episodes where she fell. And it's funny to see that, like me, when I fall in life as well,
mm-hmm.
you just get up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the same. She doesn't cry. She gets up and gets on with it.
Yeah. Kids are resilient and they teach you a lot.
Oh, super cool. You know, like I was like, yeah, speechless. Anyway, this week's podcast theme, we're going to slag the Brekkie Brews. I'm really sorry. We're going to tear apart them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is something that people need to understand. We are vets and nurses. We are not haters. You
mm-hmm.
get this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to just tell something bad about the breed without having a meaning behind, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there is a meaning. There is a reason why we obviously going to say bad things about the breed. Of course, he has good things, but unfortunately, there's more bad things instead of
yeah.
good things.
Yeah,
really.
And we hate the breed, but we don't hate each individual.
Exactly.
Like, it's not their fault they are what they are.
100%. And I believe that there is a lot of people that think that vets don't like Brekkie dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, vets are against Frenchies, or vets are against English Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
No.
I'm not against those dogs. And
mm-hmm.
I've helped them in the past, and I'm still helping, and I'm still happy to help them.
Yeah.
But people need to be aware that they are breeds that unfortunately have a lot of health problems.
Yeah, and working with them either in a consult when they're admitted, they're a lot more prone to
100%
crashing,
yeah.
which you need extra staff to monitor them throughout.
Exactly.
It's a lot more stress and work.
Yeah,
just
they're not easy dogs to work with.
No,
it's obviously our job to obviously we are here to obviously help them and obviously. Of course, the vet business would not survive without these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't encourage people to breed and to have French Bulldogs, English Bulldogs, pugs. They are not breeds that I don't encourage. I'm really sorry. I don't really encourage any specific breed in particular, but I especially don't encourage Brekkie breeds.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's been a while. Norway have banned Cavaliers, King Charles Spaniels and Bulldogs
yeah,
because of their...
Yeah.
Which I think... wouldn't be a bad thing here,
no,
but Frenchies are the most common at the moment,
yeah.
but Bulldog, but
yeah.
any Bulldog,
yeah.
pugs.
I mean, I don't know how people would react that when literally 99% of the population has a Frenchie
yeah,
or an English Bulldog. But still, I mean, they did it for a reason and
yeah.
they obviously have their own reasons. But I just wanted to leave really clear that we are not haters. We are just obviously qualified, worried people that obviously want to the best.
Yeah, it's really upsetting to see them get so stressed out because they can't breathe. Coming
yeah.
to the vets is stressful anyway.
Yeah.
They're more like we've had so many seizures in when it's hot weather, they're more prone to getting heat stroke. It's
yeah.
just upsetting
yeah,
to see them struggle so much just because people are breeding them for money. It's not for the animal's
mm-hmm.
welfare at all.
Which takes me to my obviously next topic, which is what is a brachycephalic breed? What is this Brekkie breed that we keep talking about? Do you know?
Yeah. So brachycephalics are the really short, scrunched up dogs.
Yeah, correct.
They have the same amount of tissue in their nose, their mouth.
Yeah, correct.
As a long breed dog, but it's all condensed, which stops them breathing properly.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, as a consequence, you have obviously breathing issues. Yeah, it's correct. And then usually a brachycephalic dog has three types of problems. Have you heard? Do you know
no.
the type? Well, the boas. Do you know what's
oh,
boas?
Yeah, brachycephalic.
So it's boas means brachycephalic
obstructive
airway
syndrome.
Yeah. So do you know what does that consist on? Three types of main problems.
Like the nares.
The nares, yeah.
Like
so they have stenotic nares.
Mm-hmm.
So the nares are very closed. So obviously limiting the amount of air that goes through the nose. What's the next one?
The soft palate.
Yes, elongated soft palate, not allowing the air to go through the windpipe as normally into the trachea. And the third one. We did it today.
I know we did it today. I can't remember.
It's the aversion of the laryngeal saccules, which are which are two little structures that are on the larynx, and they basically just, I mean, in an already stenotic canal, obviously the larynx is very small, very inflamed due to the air, and everything is so small and crunched up that still having two little structures there, the saccules, is just gonna cause more hassle for the air to kind of go in. So yeah, so when I talk about BOAS, it means basically brachycephalic obstruction airway syndrome, which pretty much happens in every brachy dog. Make sense? Do you know roughly main breeds?
The ones that suffer the most, English Bulldogs, French Bulldogs, Pugs. But people don't think like breeds like Boxers.
Yeah, which are still included, but yes. I suppose it's because majority of people have French Bulldogs and English Bulldogs. I would say that most of the clients that I tend to see with Brachy breeds are going to be a Bulldog, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as well, like Boxers, they still have a bit of a nose and their breathing's not as horrific.
And it's a larger breed, isn't it? Yeah, we're talking about a 30-kilo dog in a Boxer with a 10-kilo dog with a Frenchie.
But then also like Shih Tzus and things like that, they're still brachycephalic, but they don't seem to have the same issues.
Because you tend to see less as well. Don't forget that. You see much less, but they still will have some sort of degree.
It's not as severe, I guess.
Also, it's important to understand that the reason why I believe as well that you tend to see worse BOAS in Frenchies and English Bulldogs is because people are overbreeding them. And when you start overbreeding without having any knowledge behind and kind of start breeding this Frenchie with, you know, that you have the fluffies and you have the pink ones and you have like it's shocking the amount of variations that you have out there, you are obviously making them more prone to have more issues. Like there is this new thing called the rope, the long rope, have you heard about? That's horrendous. People love this long rope, which is basically a layer of extra skin on top of their nose that is just going to create more dermatitis, more problems in the future, just because some people think it's cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just
not, it's just upsetting. Like, a lot of people think that vets are in it for the money, but I mean, I would rather not have those sort of breeds 100%. And lose income or whatever, because it's just so distressing to see.
It's not nice to see.
No,
I mean, one of our nurses has a Frenchie, and the other day she brought the Frenchie to have his nails cut, and the dog nearly passed out.
Yeah, he got so overexcited.
It's just shocking, cannot breathe.
Yeah.
Obviously getting excited, panting like there was no tomorrow, and nearly passed out because we were trying to hold the dog. That's not okay. I don't think that dog has quality of life. No. To me, that is horrendous. Yeah, so those are the most common breeds, really. I mean, one of the things that I would like to touch is, as an owner, do you know what sort of advice can we give if they have a brachy dog? What would you... Because I would 100% say, if you have a brachy dog, my first advice would be, take him to the vet and let the vet assess to see how bad it is. Because just because your dog is a brachycephalic breed doesn't mean that we'll necessarily have problems. I've seen healthy Frenchies. When I mean healthy, like with no BOAS, with no obstructive airway syndrome, and they were fine. It doesn't mean that every brachycephalic breed will have BOAS, but the majority of them tend to have it.
I would probably say just keep them as calm as possible all the time.
100%.
Always consider like heat, like in the summer.
Yeah.
Because they're already panting a lot, which makes them hot. And then with external factors.
Yeah, agree. And then I would say that obviously take to the vet to see if it needs the surgery. And I mean, there's obviously other types of problems that brachycephalic breeds can have, like joint problems, and they are prone to allergies. But I would say that the airway issue is pretty much the biggest.
That's life-threatening, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, And as a vet, obviously, what I can do to help those breeds, I can assess them, I can perform surgery, where I can basically cut the elongated soft palate, I can open the nares, and I can remove those laryngeal saccules. And that literally is it's a life-changing surgery. Because they will breathe so much better. Half of the problems that they will have will go away.
Yeah.
Just like a no-brainer.
It's sad because a lot of owners or just people that don't understand think that the sounds of the brachy's breathing is normal.
I know.
Like, for example, today the dog, his breathing was horrific. You could hear it in different rooms after the surgery. Amazing. It's like a normal dog. Mm. You can't hear it breathing, which is what a dog should be like. Should you be can't like hear it. Us breathing when we're just sitting here. So
that's true. I always ask, every time that I do a vaccine or every time that I see a bracky dog, I always ask the owner, does your dog snores? And the answer is always yes. Shouldn't be snoring. I'm really sorry. That's not normal.
Yeah, they take it as a given with the breed.
Exactly. Which is, again, has to do with a bit of education of the client. I mean, I think people that have this sort of dogs should really do some sort of deep investigation about the health problems that these guys have. And I'm pretty sure if more people were aware how they suffer and how they struggle to breathe, they would not have them. No. 100%.
Mm-hmm. I've showed a client before... these, you know, the diagrams where it's like split in half. Yeah. So you've got a long face dog, a bracky face.
Yeah.
They are shocked by the how much tissue. They don't. It's just a lack of understanding. But it's the same for the cats, the rabbits that are all short faced. People just don't understand.
I think it's our duty to show people, like, obviously, what can happen and the consequences. And yeah, the more problems people have with their dogs, and the more they have to go to the vets, the more they realize, really, which is a bit sad. You should really do a bit of investigation and a bit of search before you kind of
get that's with all pets, though. People don't really research. But they also, these breeds specifically are so expensive to buy because they're trendy, 100%. That they're spending God knows how much on that dog, not getting insurance for them because it's expensive, because 100%. The breed's expensive, they've got a lot of health problems, that all the things that they could get insurance for, they don't, and it ends up being quite sad because they could be put to sleep quite young.
Would you have a brachycephalic dog?
I would not go out and buy one.
Yeah.
If a dog was to come in here and needed a home, potentially.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. I don't like the breed. It's not the individual's fault.
No, of course not.
So if something was to come in here needing a home, then
you would probably get it. Yeah, fair. Which, yeah,
I wouldn't buy one.
And would you advise people to get one?
No. If they were to ask me outright, I'd say no.
Yeah.
If they were insisting on it, I'd tell them to get good insurance.
Yeah, of course. And just do a bit of research, really, about the problems
that I try to explain, like, all the health conditions and things to be aware of. But, yeah.
No,
what would you say to them?
I think I would probably advise them to go against it, to be fair. And I had a few friends of mine that called me, even my brother. My brother, I mean, a couple of months ago called me saying that he wanted a dog and he wanted a Frenchie. And I was the first one kind of trying to get him to forget that idea. Mm-hmm. I told him, Manel is my brother. I told him, you have so many health issues. And unless you, even if you are insured, you're still submitting your dog to surgery, to... obviously several vet visits, do you know what I mean? Like, and you're probably gonna spend pretty much of your life at the vet, if this makes sense. I don't think that's fair on the dog.
No.
We don't spend our life at the doctors, majority of us at least. Why should we put our pets through that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And obviously then he forgot the idea, but I don't think I would advise, for sure. But saying this, I would also not advise you to go get a Labrador or a German Shepherd. I don't think vets should take sides. I think we obviously can give information, and then obviously we explain the health issues. And because, for instance, a German Shepherd will have hip dysplasia, and the Labrador will have arthritis. And do you know what I mean? Like, there's several, each breed has
this its is the thing, problem. All pedigree dogs have...
So the vet's job, I believe, that is just giving the information, and then you do whatever you want. I'm not against people that get bracky dogs. I just want them to be aware how challenging it can be.
Exactly, and be aware of all of the possibilities.
Yeah, and when you mention insurance, this is really important, because a lot of people don't have insurance. And this surgery that we have performed today, this boa surgery, it is expensive. This is between $3,000 to $4,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people won't have the money to do that surgery. Nothing wrong against not having the money, but is it really fair on your dog to not have surgery because you have not insured your dog? Do you know what I mean? Because that dog will then have to keep struggling to obviously breathe when it's not fair. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think a lot of the fault is from the owner. Obviously, again, lack of knowledge as well, lack of research. But I honestly believe that every bracky dog should be 100%... insurance.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of brackies here that have had IVDD, and they can't. They have got no insurance.
Yeah.
Can't have referrals. End up having to be euthanized because.
Just to clarify, that's a spinal condition, basically, when you get paralyzed from your back legs, and obviously it is heartbreaking because who wants to have a dog that is paralyzed from their back legs? Do you know what I mean?
And the ones I've seen are like 3, 4.
Yeah. This nurse that obviously has this Frenchie that came the other day, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I keep telling her that she should have the surgery then, and she's a bit not really sure about if she should do it or not. But the thing is that if this nurse wants to take the dog to run on a park on a hot sunny day, that dog is at risk of collapsing. That dog literally is at risk of literally collapsing and falling to the side because he cannot breathe. Makes sense.
I mean, her bringing him in and just seeing like the nurses here, he gets so excited that we was worried he was going to pass out the other day just from seeing us.
It's important that you guys know that the surgery doesn't come without its risks. Mm-hmm. It's a surgery where you basically are cutting like the obviously part of the throat. Well, I say the throat, you literally cut the elongated soft palate. But at the end of the day, after you manipulate the tissue, the soft palate, what can happen is obviously swelling. Mm-hmm. So one of the big complications of doing this surgery is that you might be able, well, dogs might struggle to breathe after surgery. Makes sense what I'm saying? Because of the swelling. So obviously, it's a life-changing surgery, 100%, and I still advise, but it doesn't come free of complications. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
With awareness, there's a risk. But yes, with brachias, there is an additional risk.
An additional risk,
all the time.
Yeah,
so I completely get why the nurse here doesn't want to do it.
She's free to do it. Obviously, if it was my dog, I would 100% submit him to surgery, but I do respect and understand that some people might not want to take that risk, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong against that. But just bear in mind that the dog will keep obviously struggling to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense? So
what's the bigger risk? And passing out because he can't breathe, or trying to help. Like, it's
where do
really,
you really
hard,
draw the line?
Especially when it's your pet.
I know, 100%.
It's really hard.
Yeah. I did obviously advise the nurse to do the surgery because I want to do the surgery. And I believe that is on the best interest of the dog. But I did say straight away, if you don't feel that is the correct thing to do, don't do it. Just leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And no one is going to be angry at her. She's not being a selfish person. I'm not going to say, you're being selfish because you're not going to do surgery. It needs to come from you, the decision, you know?
Exactly.
It needs to come from inside of your heart, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. The surgery that we did today went really well. The dog recovered really well. She's super happy and
it's nice and peaceful out in the camera.
100%. It's just the noise that they make is so loud, and suddenly there's no more noise.
Yeah.
That owner will have amazing night sleeps now because there's no train in the house.
Yeah.
The dog will be able to run. The dog will be able to be super
a dog.
Happy. Yeah, a dog. Yeah. I suppose, will be a dog. And the other thing that I just wanted to touch, the one last thing about this Brachy breed stuff, is that when someone asked me earlier on, one of my nurses, would you recommend this surgery to any sort of dog or any age? What she said is, well, any age of dog. Like if I have an older dog, would you recommend the surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's an older dog, the complications increase.
Right.
And most of the times you have what we call laryngeal collapse.
Right.
Okay. So sometimes you do the surgery and they still might not get better because the problem is the larynx,
right,
not actually the boas.
Okay.
So I would try to stay clear from this type of surgery in older dogs. You can still do them. Of course you can. But I would say that this is more a surgery towards to the younger dogs.
So what would you say, like 5 and younger?
Six, seven.
Okay.
Yeah. I would not do it on a 10-year-old Frenchie, for instance, or a 10-year-old dog.
Yeah.
I don't think that's nothing wrong if you want to do it, and if the owner wants, I would be happy to do it, but it might not resolve the problem and the complications really increase with age.
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess if they've also got to 10...
Yes, you can argue that. A lot of these dogs, obviously, I forgot to mention, but a lot of brachycephalic breeds, because they cannot breed well, they tend to have what we call aspiration pneumonia, which is when they vomit, part of the vomit that gets out of the food pipe goes into the windpipe.
Yeah,
because there's no space on the back of the throat. And as a consequence, they have food inside of the lungs causing aspiration pneumonia, which is life-threatening. I've seen hundreds of cases with aspiration pneumonia, and they are not easy to treat. They take months to get rid of. Most of them has to be referred, and it's not a a cool thing to see. And I can tell you that a big, big percentage will be put down or will die.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think with the bowel surgery, I think the actual surgery, yeah, of course it has its complications, but I think post-op is the more crucial
time. Yes, so I would say that if you want to be like, do things by the book, they should spend one night at the at the vets after the surgery, just to make sure everything is fine, just to make sure that their
O2
levels are fine, and then just go home. Because complications can happen. Swelling is one of the biggest complications. They do have a shot of dexamethasone, which is an anti-inflammatory, but complications still can happen. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you cut half of the roof of their mouth. So, but I think that's it really about the brachy breed. I just wanted to touch and make you guys aware that it's actually something that we all should be more aware, and that would improve the dog's quality of life, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other thing that I want to touch it really quickly is some of the mistakes that I've done in the past. This is a bit of a controversial one, because I'm not here to say that I'm a shit vet. I don't believe that I'm a shit vet. But we all do mistakes. And I've done my mistakes, and I own them. I own them with no issue whatsoever. Bear in mind that these were mistakes when I graduated, not mistakes that happened yesterday, okay? However, they have happened. And I wanted to talk about the mistake that I've done on my first year when I started doing nights. This was on my first year after I graduated, where I was working at a night hospital, and basically I had this dog that just came in shock. He had been attacked by another two dogs, and he was in shock. The mucous membranes were really pale, the heart rate was really high, like trying to beat, and he was severely dehydrated, and he had wounds everywhere. And the first thing that you usually do to kind of treat shock, hypovolemic shock in this case, would be to give fluids. And because it was my first year, I literally flooded the dog and I killed it. So I gave him too much fluids to increase the blood pressure and to kind of try to stabilize the animal. And by giving too much, unfortunately, the part of the fluid has been shifted into the lungs, and unfortunately, I flooded the dog. I got, obviously, as you guys can imagine, super embarrassed. I was heartbroken. My first year of working as a vet, and I had killed the dog, and it was my fault. I was just like, you know, like, it was a humbling, horrendous experience, I can tell you that. Obviously, being my first year, I just owned it up straight away. I called the owner and explained what happened. Of course, the owner was not happy to hear, but at least the owner did acknowledge that. Thank you for being honest.
And they'd have
and
a lot
saying,
more respect for you.
I think so, but still doesn't make your life easier.
No.
Of course, you learn with your mistakes. But what I really want to say with this is that in the vet professional, and even in health professional, like even in human medicine, we all do mistakes. Mistakes happen.
Yeah, we're human.
Exactly. So of course it's not ideal, and you try to minimize those mistakes, but they still happen.
Yeah.
And I believe that the message here is, just try to be honest and just try to... I know that I have I know a few people, doesn't matter who, but I know a few people that have done mistakes and have not come clean.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, the owner would never know, let's be honest.
But you've got to live with that.
But you need to live with it, 100%.
Yeah. I think accidents happen.
Yeah.
There was no intention to cause harm. But lying and covering it up, you have intention.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's where you're going to go wrong.
Yeah.
You should always be honest, as horrible as it is.
Yeah.
Because you get caught, you get found out.
Yeah, 100%. So I felt really bad. After telling the owner, kind of takes a bit of the blame out of your shoulder, because at least it's done it, do you know what I mean? The owner obviously not happy, as you can imagine, but at least the owner, to be fair, at the end, did say thank you for being honest. And that kind of gives you a bit of... It's worse. Well, it's less worse than obviously not say anything or having lied, because then you have to live with that. But that was one of the mistakes that I've done. The second mistake that I've done as well, on usually I think was on the first year of after I graduated, was I was pre-medding a dog and I mistaken the syringes, and I pre-medded the dog with a reversal. So I was going to use methotomidine, which is a sedative that we use to sedate dogs, and I've given the antidote, which unfortunately causes horrendous cardiac arrhythmias. So I pre-medded this golden retriever, and the golden retriever was not going down, and suddenly starts panting and drooling and getting really excited. And I was like, well, something is wrong here. As soon as I put the stethoscope on his heart, there was this massive cardiac arrhythmia. Again, panicked, obviously, mm-hmm. because you're just like, oh my God. Then obviously I realized that I gave the wrong drug. And obviously I had to call one of my colleagues and ask for a second opinion. And he said, listen, it's not the end of the world. Just obviously give the methamphetamine so you can obviously now reverse. Makes sense what I'm saying? Just give the sedative and just hope for the best. And again, I called the owner. Obviously, I was really sorry. And I was like, and it was like only a 2-year-old golden retriever.
Okay.
But the owner was actually not that bad. It was not such as the dog was fine at the end. But again, a silly mistake. Do you know what I mean? I think when people get comfortable, they do mistakes. And obviously, I know that it's the first year. You should be a bit more, what's the word?
On it,
yeah.
But I also think if there's a lot going on or someone's talking to you, like sometimes you haven't, which is, that's not an excuse because you should be concentrating what you're doing, but you get kind of complacent, you're talking to that person and doing this and mistakes happen.
Oh, 100%. Mistake, human error. So I've come clean and everything was fine and the dog was fine, but this is just two examples of mistakes that I've done. I honestly believe that you should come clean, and if you come clean, I believe that clients will have more trust in you, and I believe that you just are able to live with yourself a bit better. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah, I agree.
Have you ever done a mistake?
Yeah, well, I think it was probably not long after qualifying, I accidentally gave the wrong animal the wrong pre-med, so the doses were a lot higher. And as soon as I gave it, I knew I'd done it something wrong. And I burst into tears ran to the vet. I was like, oh my God, I've done this. What am I going to do? And she was like, it's fine. Reverse it. Yeah. It'll be fine. And it was fine. It was fine. But yeah, I just burst into tears. It was horrific.
I suppose it's worse for a nurse, no? Because you guys have... you guys are used to give more medication than us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because it would not be your fault, really, would it?
If something would happen. We still have to take responsibility.
Yeah, but before you give, theoretically, you need to show to the vet the amount. Mm-hmm. You need to double check with the vet.
Yeah.
So obviously, if the vet has not checked, it's still the vet's fault at the end of the day. But
I don't know how I end up getting the wrong one. I don't know what happened.
Oh, listen, mistakes happen.
I always tell the truth. Yeah. As uncomfortable as it is to admit you've done something wrong, I know that, I still think about the things I've done wrong from what I've been in practice 10 years. I think about the things I've done wrong, and it not haunts me, but it always is in the back of my mind.
But that's good. I believe that's good, because that in a certain way will keep you sharp. And because I believe that people make mistakes when they become too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When you are out of your comfort zone and you are always, is this right? I believe that that's the way where you're not going to make mistakes, mm-hmm. because you're always double checking stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then people know if I come to you and say, I've done this wrong,
you
know, you've got actually a bit more trust in me.
Of course.
Because if you know that if I do something, I don't know, it just...
Yeah. I've worked with a few nurses, doesn't matter who, that have lied to me, and I know that they have lied, and it's a bit of a lost battle because I'm usually quite frontal and I'm the type of person to go there and ask. But when someone is lying to you, that trust is gone. Do you know what I mean? Like, I cannot trust a nurse that has been lying to me. Mm-hmm. I can't.
And if
I
they won't can lie trust. About one thing, what else can they lie
100%.
About?
100%. Yeah, agree.
Yeah. Trust is a big thing. Mm. And I think once that's gone, you can't get it back.
No, you can't. No. Yeah. I do trust you.
Oh, that's good. I trust you too.
No, good. That's it. I just wanted to talk about this. I think our time is up. I'm very happy with this topic. I think it's an important topic to talk about. And...
More awareness needs to be on the breed for sure.
I think so. Thanks guys for listening. We still don't have a sponsor, by the way, so if you want a sponsor, by all means chuck some money on this side. But apart from that, I do enjoy to do this podcast.
It was fun.
Hope to see you in 2 weeks time.
Yeah. 2 weeks time. See you then.
Cool. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.